Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today we're kicking off another mini series. You guys seem to love these, and if I'm being honest, I really wanted to name this How to Make More Money as a Flower Farmer, but I decided to change it to Productivity and Efficiency Tips for Flower Farming. So essentially, how to make more money in your flower farm doesn't necessarily mean selling more flowers or generating more revenue. Of course, that's important, but the way you're going to make money is to get really serious about where your expenses are and what you're spending your time and money on. Now, year one, I talk about this all the time. I'm pretty transparent about it. Year one, my sales were about 7,000, then it was 24,000, then it was 71,000. And then the last couple of years, it's been well over six figures. And that sounds all good and dandy, but when you hear six figures, that doesn't mean I'm making six figures. Hell no. But the 35% profit margins, I'm really trying to get up to closer to a 50% profit margin, which sounds crazy, but it's totally, totally doable. You just have to be so intentional about everything that you do. Now, my Peddling Perishable Products course that I have is, right now it's closed, but we're going to be opening it at the end of this mini series. And essentially that talks about a lot of the non-infrastructure, non-physical things that you can invest in your business. A website, an email list, my thoughts on logos, branding, client experience, all of those things. But for the purpose of this mini series, we're going to really focus on the farming and the day-to-day tasks. And we're going to divide this mini series into three parts. One is planning, so before the season even starts. One is planting, so, you know, the early summer. And then one is harvesting, and that includes, you know, picking the flowers, bouquet making, all of those things. So we're just going to talk about productivity and efficiency tips in flower farming. And part one is planning. And then at the end of this mini series, I want you to join us on July 22nd at 8 p.m. Central Time for a mini series. Click on the link in the episode notes to get signed up. You can ask any questions you want about planning, planting, and harvesting. So basically just, you know, what's the fastest way to do this? Or I need to get faster at making bouquets, or I need to get whatever those might be. We can really dig deep into those. And then there's a live chat. So you can get the recorded episode at the end, but you're not going to be able to participate and do your questions unless you're actually in it. You can email questions to podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com and just put the subject line mini series questions. But the best way to get it is just join the mini series. So you can log in, and then 15 minutes before it starts, you'll get the Zoom link. Crop planning is so important because it is based on your sales and your predictions. So one of the most efficient ways you can get lean or profitable in your flower farm is by growing with intention. I think it's important to grow what you love. But it's more important, if this is going to be a sustainable business where you're going to be profitable year after year and be able to afford to stay in business, you need to do what your customers want you to do. What are they willing to pay for, and what do they want you to grow? If they're never going to pay more than $15 for a bouquet in your area, then you can't grow a $30 bouquet with dahlias and lisianthus and expensive flowers and then try to sell it profitably, because those flowers take so much time and money in the long run. If you buy plugs, they're expensive. I mean, by the time they're shipped to you, they're like 70 cents a plant for the lisianthus. You can't sell them for a buck a stem. You know, the dahlias, again, yeah, you already have the tubers, but it is so much time and so much work to dig them up, divide them up, care for them. And so it's, you know, at that point, okay, I'm just going to grow zinnias, cosmos, amaranth, and basil, and stuff that can be direct seeded. And it's not as much work and time in the long run. So that's what we mean when we say figure out what the price point is, what your customers want you to do it. It's a lot more extensive than that. I go into really deep detail on that with my Peddling Perishable Products course, but essentially it's, you know, everyone says identify your target customer. Well, what does that really mean? And that it's what do they want to buy? So rather than planting a bunch of flowers and then trying to sell them as they're blooming, you need to figure out what you can predictably sell and when they'll be blooming, and then work backwards and plant those flowers. I do have a mini course, because it was requested so many times, called Crop Planning, and I'll put that in the episode notes, but it's $99. I walk you through everything that I do, how I predict how many bouquets I'm going to need. I divide up the weeks. I have a chart of what's blooming when in zone 4B, and then it has blank templates from my Excel spreadsheet for you to go in and change it based on when those things bloom for you. And then I have, based on my numbers, how many stems per week each of these plants get. And then I figure out exactly how many of what to grow. So again, is that doable? Yeah. But it probably took me 40 or 50 hours to do it the very first time that I did it. So you can sit down and you can try to figure it out, or you can sign up for the course and get it delivered to you in 40 minutes. So totally up to you how you want to do it. But hopefully that is an excellent resource. Everyone that I know that's taken it has said good things about it. So I've got some good feedback from that. But that's the process that I went through. So no, you don't have to buy the course, but it'll probably save you a ton of time. But either way, get real serious about planning your garden, your field, whatever you want to call it, with intention. So the next thing is inventory and task management. So this is something that I'm guilty of. I actually went through this year and I knew that germination rates were going to be pretty bad. I'm actually saving the whole plugs versus direct seeding versus trays conversation for episode 2 in the planting. But spoiler alert, I'm not even going to direct seed my zinnias next year, because I did the math on pulling all the weeds when they're tiny seedlings. And again, I am going to buy plugs of everything. But I have seed packets from stuff that I haven't used the last couple of years. And so of my 19 rows in my annual patch, or in my U-pick patch, and then I have, you know, the two high tunnels above. Essentially, there's room for a third high tunnel, but we've got some things happening where we're going to move some things around. But I have basically 3 16 by 50 plots over on the other side of my farm that customers can't access right away, because it's like my Lysianthus and my Focal Scoops Cabiosa and my Eucalyptus, stuff that I don't want on the U-pick field, because those are really expensive flowers, versus down in the U-pick section. And those are 60 by, they're 6 feet by 60. And we plant, you know, about 8 inches in on each side. So I don't know, 4 to 5 feet by 60 feet of flowers. So of those 19 rows, 5 of them I ended up direct seeding with zinnias, amaranth, basil. I think I did some calendula. And that was all I really did from direct seed. Everything else was plugs or dahlia tubers. And so the seeds, I went through and took inventory, and I had so many half-opened packs of zinnias. And they're old. They're old seeds. And I had some packs of amaranth and I had some packs of basil. I didn't buy any new seeds this year because I've just been kind of wasteful. Like, I don't get my whole order packed. Or there was actually one year where they sent me a duplicate order of over $600. They sent it to me twice from Johnny's Seeds. And then I called them and they're like, yeah, no, just keep it. So that was pretty cool. Actually, no, I got someone else's order of vegetables of like $1,000 worth of beets and carrots. And then I called them and then they sent me my flower order and then they sent it again. So it was a weird year. But so I had a lot of extra seeds and I had all these different zinnias and basil and amaranth. And so I ended up planting those again because I no longer do my stock, my snapdragons, anything in trays from seed myself. So I went through and I planted those this year, and the germination rate obviously kind of sucked because the seeds were like 3 years old. But it was fine because I put multiple in each seed. But just taking inventory, because how much money is wasted during the season trying to order out of panic? And so spending that winter off and preparing, trying to get ready for this season, is so important. That is where you're going to save so much money. I also think there are things like your inventory that you use, whether it's snips or your paper sleeves or your quick dip, if you use that, or needing to order more netting or whatever it might be, you probably, like me, end up panic buying things in June because you're out of things. So you either A, spend way too much money on Amazon when it could be picked up at the local hardware store for way cheaper, or now you're running to the hardware store three times a week and spending, you know, all of that time wasted just panic buying things. And, you know, I talked about it. I have a group that I'm in. It's not flower farming related, but it's business related. And we meet every single Thursday at noon. And we talked about things like running out of business cards should not be an emergency. And I think that that's what I've really focused on in the last 6 months, is having a calm farm for everyone, because I feel like I've grown so rapidly. It's been microwave growth, not crockpot growth. And I've been so focused on the revenue that, yeah, we've been able to do it, but not at a sustainable pace. And, you know, there are things that have been bottlenecks within the business, and I've blamed other things or other people or other circumstances. And ultimately, the only one that I can control is myself. And so trying to just anticipate those quote unquote emergencies and, you know, just anticipate those in the off season. Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides, or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy, and I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website, because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks. So another thing that I spent this spring doing was looking at the process for how we plant things. Now, next year, I think I'm going to get rid of some of the fabric and use mulch. And that's because we have a grass bagger on our lawnmower. And Flower Farmer Husband is really good about keeping our lawn prime. We have an irrigation system, and we have 68 sprinkler heads with 10 zones. He works for a company called Trout Companies, and one of their greatest perks for their employees is they can borrow equipment on the weekend. So this company drills wells and installs sprinkler systems. And yeah, so that was nice. We got our sprinkler system pretty much at cost. There's no way we would be irrigating like an acre and a half of lawn if we had to pay full price for it. But we didn't, and it's awesome. And I have, you know, I have spouts everywhere or hydrants everywhere that are shallow that he has to blow out with the air compressor at the end of the fall because they'll freeze otherwise, but it just works really well. Like, I need a sprinkler head here, and just anticipating those things for planning your farm, because, you know, where do you need a hydrant? You probably need a hydrant more than you need a high tunnel. You probably need a hydrant, you know, and so paying someone to come in and install it. Yep, not everyone gets it at a discount like I do, but those are the things that how many minutes a day do you run moving hoses back and forth and then forgetting about it? So much time is wasted. And so just taking inventory of what things you're going to need. I want to give a special shout out to a company called Tillmore that I ended up, there's another flower farmer, and she's going to come on to talk about her bed layer. But they specialize in products that just make it easier for small scale flower farmer, or not just flower farmers, but farmers in general to use. The first thing that I got from them, so far. And trust me, there's some other stuff coming in the works, but I got a dibbler from them. I can do 6 rows at 6-inch spacing. You can either put it behind the tractor, behind the tiller, and then it puts the holes for you, or you can walk it by hand. And I walked it by hand in my high tunnels after we had tilled it, because I have the high tunnels with zipper ends because we want to be able to get the tractor in and out. And I was able to pre-make all of those holes perfectly spaced at 6-inch spacing for my focal scoop scabiosas and my asters that I plant up there. So yeah, we will talk about that dibbler significantly more and how much time it saved me, because I tried to eyeball the Lysianthus by hand before I got the dibbler, and trust me, this was way better. Plus, the spacing, the optimal spacing exists for a reason. So when you're planting things, that's just going to get you way more productivity out of those flowers that you're already doing. Now, the next thing that I talk about is, I think quite a few of you bought it, and you definitely don't need this. It's definitely more of it's a personal preference. And if your brain is like mine, then it'll be really useful. And if you're organized in a different way, then it won't. But I ended up publishing a journal last December, and it was called Crop Planning for Your Flower Farm. You can get it on Amazon. I'll put it in the episode notes. But essentially, I got so sick of mapping out my garden on one thing and saving notes in my phone and texting myself things. And I just was never taking notes and remembering things year to year. And so there's a calendar in there. There's a, you know, at the end of, you know, in October, it says all of a sudden there's a notebook page that's like, stop, your season is over. Take inventory right now of everything that you know that you need for next year. Like, did the U pickers walk off with snips? Did you, you know, just whatever it might be, so that you can remember to do it in the moment. So my routine is every Sunday morning at, you know, 5:30 when I'm awake before my family is, I have my cup of coffee and then I just take notes from that week. I cannot do it day to day. I'm just not a daily journaler, but I can do it at the end of the week. And so I can put in notes of customer habits. So how many bouquets did we sell? Because sometimes it's hard to remember. And just little things like, I had a stem bar at the farm because I do them every Monday. And I had my cooler quit working. It didn't quit working. The power went out and we realized that our cooler is hardwired. There's no way to plug it into a generator. And so we just assumed we could plug it into a generator. We never even thought about it. It never even dawned on us. And so when the power was out and I had literally thousands of peonies in there, it wasn't thousands, it was hundreds, upper hundreds, almost 1,000 peonies dry packed in there. And I just needed to move my flowers. So I posted a big thing on Facebook and I sold almost $5,000 worth of flowers in 2 days. And it was amazing. Well, then shocker, nobody came to my stem bar on Monday because, you know, over 250 people bought bouquets on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so, you know, just writing things down just to remind you that, hey, if you have a big sale or a big event, like the week after Mother's Day probably isn't going to have a whole lot of flowers because everyone's still got flowers because they bought some. So yeah, just trying to, you know, get efficient in, you know, your tools and your resources. So, you know, there are so many things analyzed, but my stem bars that I do on Mondays and my U-picks that I do on Saturdays during the summer, so many things have to be analyzed, but we're shifting more toward high-end event florals and selling those directly to my customers. So my flowers are going to be more expensive. The Lysianthus, the focal scoop scabiosas, the eucalyptus, the dahlias. My U-picks are not zinnias and cut and come again flowers for the most part. I only have 2 rows of zinnias. I only have 2 rows of amaranth. Half a row of basil, and then, you know, a couple of rows of snapdragons, straw flowers, and then obviously, like I said, the dahlias are down there. So, you know, it's trying to plan and analyze those numbers, because as some go up, other things are going to go down. I'm really trying to push the subscriptions more, but I would say one of the most efficient things that I did and one of the best investments that I've ever done for my business was not producer Abby, but accountant Abby. And if you take the Peddling Perishable Products course, she comes on for a 70-minute lesson. And she is amazing, you guys. It is so important to have an accountant that understands farming and that actually listens to you. So she did work as a CPA. Now she works in an accounting position for another farm, but or for another business. But her husband, they farm, they have cattle. He has a lawn care company. And so she does the books for their farm. She does the books for her husband's business. And she does my books. And then she has her normal job. And so she actually loves doing my books because they're pretty complicated between my Schedule F, my Schedule C. I'm having, you know, I just have kind of a diverse, different outlook on things. Plus I have my W-2 job. So it's kind of a fun game for her. But looking at, you know, assigning those hours for employees, writing QuickBooks, I can say, you know, how much time right now, the entire month of June was spent pulling weeds. That's what my employees were doing. And that's not necessarily generating revenue, but if we don't get ahead of those weeds, the flowers aren't going to produce that many flowers and people aren't going to want to come here and pay the premium price that I charge for my U-picks to be here. You need to set that experience level and, you know, having a lawn that's irrigated and smooth to walk on and, you know, minimal weeds, those are all things that add to the experience. And, you know, you think that the U-pick is way less work, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, sometimes I'd much rather just do more subscriptions, but just trying to figure out, you know, planning for the summer, the planning period is definitely step one to get way more efficient and productive within your flower farm. So next week's episode, we talk about planting with precision. So just the importance of, you know, streamlining everything that you're going to do. We're going to talk about how I plan my field. We're going to talk about planting tools and techniques. So like that dibbler that I talked about, we can talk about the bed layer, comparison of plugs versus seeds, and just different ways that I get, you know, the community kind of involved and just different creative ideas for that. And then, you know, your planting system. So not doing everything on demand, but trying to batch your work in different ways. And then week three of this mini series is going to be the harvesting and bouquet making. So harvesting tool and techniques. We're going to talk about the bloom bar a little bit. We're going to talk about just labeling inventory management within your cooler. And then we're going to talk about event work versus subscriptions. And so, you know, and when I say that event work, the flowers are at their peak and they're only going to last a couple more days when they get them for a wedding because they want them to be wide open. Whereas when subscription holders pick up their flowers, I want them to be almost underwhelmed because they're so closed. I actually had someone, there were three peonies, six ranunculus, and maybe there was something else in it. And they were all pretty closed. And the ranunculus were a little bit more open, but it was chilly and it was in the morning. So they were looking pretty closed. And of course, the peonies were just in the marshmallow stage when they got them. And this customer was like, I don't even want this. This is so skimpy. It's so scant. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And like, I did not make apologies. I didn't, you know, anything. But then customers kept sending me pictures of their bouquets that week. And so I was resharing them. And I'm like, this is what they look like. The next day, like we give them to you like this. So they look like that. Same thing with the tulips. They're probably, you know, they come and they get their bundle and they're really tight and they're like, oh, but just wait, just give it a day or two. So it's just teaching your customers about those things. So I really want to talk about what that looks like. And the reason I started doing events is because flowers that I would have had to otherwise throw away because they're not going to last a week are perfect for event work. And so it's not that they're not good. It's not that they're the leftovers. It's just they have different resources. So those are the upcoming episodes. I would love for you guys to click on the link, join the mini series, and you can, yeah, ask away any questions. But part one is all about planning. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.